top of the morning to you. Welcome to A View from the Blarney, the official podcast of the Dundalk Giants.
Yes. How do you follow that up, Mark? In all seriousness.
Hello,
welcome to A View from the Bridge. There's a special off-season episode of that gives you the news and views of the Coors Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name's Patrick Smith.
And I'm Aaron Kernahan. Welcome
is that
to the show.
Aaron O'Kernahan? Or is that
Aaron O'Kernahan, yes. Okay.
Yes, and a great Irish accent. This week on A View from the Bridge, we're actually just going to give you a quick rundown on a couple of news things that have been happening in the off-season. We've got one of our mates, Mark Hitchcock, on to chat about all the bits and bobs. And you generally just try to bring you up to date with some of the news that's taken place while hockey's been away. If you want to get in touch with us here in A View from the Bridge, there's a few ways of going about it. You can email us at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com.
Or hop over to the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
How's things going, mate? You all right?
Ah, grand. Just trying to stay dry this summer. It's been pretty abysmal, to be honest.
It's lashing down with rain here. And
yeah, that pretty much sums it up here as well.
I'm living over in Viperland, over in the mythical town of Moblix. I'm subject to the northeastern rain, as opposed to the northwestern rain.
Yeah, or the Northern Ireland rain.
Or the Northern Ireland rain. But yeah, it's been an eventful off season so far, especially with Todd Kelman now fully taking the reins of the Belfast Giants.
Yeah, it's probably been the most boring summer of being a Belfast Giants fan I think I ever remember. I was going to say no drama, but that's maybe not quite true. But very, very little drama. A full team signed already, more or less. I'm not sure whether there's maybe one or two small additions still to come. Full team signed already. Fixtures announced on time. Although we'll probably come back to that, I would imagine. Dialogue, a fan night with the GM. It's just
sponsors.
Yeah.
The actual the GM coming out and giving us a regular update on what's going on. It's good. It is really good, but it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's going to take a bit of getting used to, I think. But yeah, it's good stuff, and I hope it continues.
I have to say though, for all the people, and the things that have been going on, it really is a good thing. It shows that with the regular information coming from more or less all the teams, and all the teams getting their teams together more or less so early, and the fixtures coming out, it's good to see that maybe the Elite Ice Hockey League is going from strength to strength.
Yeah. It definitely seems, with the same 10 teams, the big difference this year is Manchester and Cardiff both already have their rinks ready and available to play in. So hopefully, any fixture changes and backlogs and things will be kept to an absolute minimum, which, is a good thing, not just for Cardiff and Manchester, who obviously struggled because of that last year and ended up playing three, four games a week at times. But it benefits the likes of ourselves. I remember at the end of last year, one game booked in for early February ended up being late February, which obviously, for the Giants, it's a big cost to change travel time that late on and so on.
Yep.
So, I'm quite looking forward to it. Quite looking forward to the season, I have to say.
And this season kicking off with a couple of pre-season games for the first time in a few years.
Yep. With two games for the first time since they would BT together in the BT Ice Cups, with a game on the 31st of August, on the 1st of September in the Dundalk Ice Dome, or the Dundalk Bullring, against Huddinge, I believe is how you pronounce it, hockey from Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, it's great for on a few levels. First of all, obviously, it's good to get the team together and spending a weekend together sort of before the first game of the season, which will hopefully get them just a bit of sort of bonding time and getting to know each other and just generally have a bit of a laugh for that weekend. Before getting into, but you know, and just get used to each other on the ice as well. I don't put a huge amount. I mean, it's not been a major problem for us over the last few years not having preseason games. In my opinion, maybe others, maybe the team people who've played for the team differ, but we seem to have started all right the last few years anyway. But it'd just be nice to get that extra bit of cohesion maybe before the first sort of before the battle commences.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's been, like you say, it shows a bit of, again, another bit of stability in the team that we maybe haven't had in the last few years, and stability in the setup of the team. And I have to say, I'm very pleased to see it, especially with these games taking place and giving our team a bit of a head start going into the league that they haven't had in a few years. And then, of course, they travel back to Dundalk for a few games. So we talk about that in our chat with Mark that's coming up. Mark, I keep calling him Mark. Hitchy.
Yeah, it makes him sound like a grown-up. We all know very well.
Yeah. He certainly is not. We chat about that a little bit. But I'm sure we'll chat about that as the next few weeks go by. We got a lot of new faces coming into the Giants team as well.
Yeah. Which, I mean, again, is one of those things it's probably the biggest turnover I think we've maybe ever had.
Possibly.
As far as sort of complete player changes, I mean, with Mark Judium's back, Roman Gavalier's back, and Philippe de Ruvel's back, George Awada's back. Other than that, and obviously the locals, like Sir Graham Walton, and Mark Morris, cameo appearance towards the end of last season, has come back as a player coach again.
Yes.
what do you think of that?
Well, his cameo appearance, or the fact that he's back to play?
The fact that he's a bit of both, actually.
Well, he came back to play and we dropped Hoppy, and there's been a lot of publicity over the whole Hoppy Gates saga and the fact that Mr. Hoppy stepped forward into the media and decided they are his views on the matter and blah blah blah, and that's all been done to death. The fact of the matter is, when Ed Courtney did take up his place, we came out of what was like an 11 out of 15 games or something like that we'd lost, and we started winning again. Now that's a turnaround in a team, and we spoke about that last season that we were winning games again. And I have to say that was probably no small fact to the fact that that Ed Courtney was there and able to call the shots. The fact he's now back as a player coach again. Well, the last time he was as a player coach for the full season, we won the league. Granted, we did have some guy called Fleury. We don't have a player of his extreme caliber this season, but well. I'd love to say I'm optimistic, but there's other factors in it as well.
Yeah, I think one thing that probably concerns a lot of people is the sort of the overall age of the team. I think that's one thing that definitely has been. I mean, with the high turnover, we'll run through as you say, the new names, Carlisle Lewis.
In for Sean Skihar. Looks like a good signing, looks like he's tough. Maybe he'll do things that Skihar was, well, berated for not doing.
Yeah, although I think Skihar got a bit of unfair criticism towards the end of last season. And I mean, one of the things that Todd Kellman mentioned earlier this summer in a night he had with, you know, for the fans, where he basically answered a lot of hard questions. I mean, again, good communication. Mm-hmm. One of the things we've already mentioned on the show tonight, but he stated, you know, categorically that Sean Skihar did exactly what he was asked to do.
Yeah.
You can't ask any more of a guy than that. And to me, that doesn't deserve any criticism whatsoever. Another one of the signings, one of the new guys, a guy called Scott Cameron, mm-hmm. who is, well, same age as me, so obviously quite a young fella.
Alright, Dan.
Who, over sort of early in his career, he was drafted by the New Jersey Devils, 185th in 1999, mm-hmm. And went straight into the Albany River Rats AHL team, where he didn't pick up a huge number of points. Obviously, he would have been maybe playing, you know, at that age, he would have been playing sort of maybe third, fourth line and so on. But the fact that he played as many games as he did, you know, looking at it, you can't judge much from, you know, from stats on a page or whatever. But you know, in 2002-03, he played 80 games in the AHL. Now, there's not many guys without, you know, without talent who play 80 games in a season in the AHL.
Yeah, that's a lot of experience.
And I mean, even 2004-05. In the ECHL, another 71 games. I mean, obviously that's a step down from the AHL, but he's an experienced guy.
There's a lot of names from those Albany River Rats days that he'd be playing with again as well.
Well, in that 2002-2003 season, that 2002-2003 season, it's actually quite interesting to go through. Some of the guys that did play in Albany with him, just running down the team list, Brett Cloutier is one, which is a guy who, I think, is he back in Manchester?
He is back in Manchester. Tony Hans picked him up for another season.
Max Breyer, I never could pronounce that name, who I believe has actually returned to Cardiff for
indeed.
A second season as well.
He has.
And of course, George Iwata.
George Iwata's there.
Carlisle
Lewis, I think, is there
Carlisle
as well.
Carlisle Lewis. Now, that wasn't the same. That wasn't that season, but he has. Carlisle Lewis is there as well. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, Scott Clemenson, who has just been signed by the Toronto Maple Leafs, is back up, really.
Well, we'll not see him on our shores then.
And, of course, there's a new look at our defence as well. Troy Neumeyer. Nicknamed in his old Manchester Storm days as the Destroyer.
Yes.
He was one of the ones that was of concern, possibly.
Yeah, quite a player in his Manchester Storm days, and one of the best D-men in the ISL. Of course, the ISL was maybe 5-6 years ago. An aging player, but a player that still seems to have a lot of talent. If given by what's been said about him on by the fans of the teams that he's played for recently, again, age is a bit of concern. I'd love to say that.
30?
He's 33.
Oh no, hang on. Sorry, that's Trevor Johnson. Apologies. Go ahead.
No, 33. I think something like that. And I know I'll probably get a lot of rattle for this as well, but it's a matter of stamina, in my opinion. You can have talent coming out of your ears, but there was a time when you looked at Jason Ruff on a breakaway from the on a breakaway one-on-one from the netminder, and you'd put your house on him hitting the back of the net. And as time went by, you wouldn't. You know what I mean? It just got, you know, you weren't as sure.
The good thing is on defense. He's been touted as, you know, as your sort of your stay-at-home D-man.
Yes.
What that exactly means, you know, it's hard to say, but at least he won't be rushing up and down.
Well, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. You know, I get that. It's, but like you say, it's the proof of the pudding's in the eating, isn't it? Really, you can say a lot from stats, and I don't really remember him that much from the Storm days. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, and I mean, the other signing, who's come over from Italy, which is where quite a few guys in the Elite League have signed from, not just with ourselves, but this season, is a Johnson on defense for the Giants again, only it's Trevor this time. signed from, again, he's 30. Signed from Bruneck. That will say his Italian name in English. Another one from the South Carolina Stingrays, actually.
Our feeder team.
Leading back to sort of Ed Courtney's connections, no doubt. But, yeah, he's come over from Italy. A guy, I mean, again, to go by stats, never really has put up a huge number of points. But penalty minutes, looking back over his career, I can see, let's see, 1, 2, 3 seasons with over 200 penalty minutes. 1, 2, 3 more seasons with over 150. And in fact, only 2 seasons with under 100 out of 12 seasons.
It's good to hear. So encouraging stats there, Aaron. Thank you very much.
One thing that we maybe lacked slightly last season was maybe a sort of general all-around team toughness. It's certainly one thing I don't think we're going to lack this year.
I think this season we've got quite a big, burly team that they're going to rely more, I think, on skill than on speed. Well, that's a good or bad thing. Well, time will only tell. If one of the more recent signings is one probably that hasn't impressed. I know that I've moaned a lot over the off season on the forums or whatever about signings not really impressing me that much. But one that didn't impress me all that much at all has been the recent signing of Ryan Smith.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, that though. Anyone who was going to be signed to replace Jason Ruff,
yeah,
was already going to be, you know, basically have an absolutely massive pair of skates to fill. The fact that he's been playing in sort of the German lower leagues for the last couple of years.
Some of those leagues are semi-pro.
To be fair.
So is ours. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
So some of the players in ours are semi-pro.
That's fair to say.
You know, it could have been a bit of a sort of... I don't know. I feel almost sorry for Ryan Smith.
Yeah, he could come over here. He could be brilliant. Like you say, a lot of these players are a case of... You looked at their stats and maybe you were a little bit underwhelmed, and they might turn up and be the next. Well, Joel, one I always pick is Joel Lang, the former Sheffield Steelers netminder.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's happened many times over the years.
Sean Barnes.
Sean Barnes, naturally. Robbie Sandrock.
Yeah.
I know.
I was never, though, one of Robbie Sandrock's biggest fans.
The guy came over as an unknown, really.
Yeah.
And has made a pretty big career out of playing in not just the DEL in Germany, but the Bundesliga, which is a pretty high level to play, and consistently being picked up by other sort of top Bundesliga teams in Germany.
Yeah, like I say, it's easy for me to sit here in the big chair and moan about how I'm underwhelmed by our team, blah blah blah. But I mean, I could be quite hypocritical and come February be ranting and raving about how good we are, which who knows, it might happen, it might not. And I was going to say that when you're pre-season, it's easy to look at stats and moan. It's better probably just to give them a month or two just to show what they're worth.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it'll be maybe, you know, a good 10-15 games into the season before we'll be able to tell for definite. I mean, it's just the fact there's so many sort of new names. I don't think we've really... It's just a big turnover this year. I think one of the things that kind of stands out to me, looking at the guys we've signed, I mean, one of the big sort of thing that seems to have been made of all of them is just their general sort of all-round teamwork. Looking at what we've signed, and I mean, until we see them in action again, we can't say for definite, but it certainly looks like in this case, we're going to have maybe a better team without having a lot of outstanding individuals. Whereas last year, we had a few individuals who perhaps didn't contribute fully to the team.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Last year, to look at, I hate going back to it, but to look at stats, Jeff Hutchins.
Who?
John Hutchins.
All right.
Number 71, I think he wore. 72 points in 60 games. But how many games did he win us?
One that I can think of.
Yeah, which of course was against his former team.
Yeah.
Curtis Huppie, 54 points in 44 games, gets left out for a few games and runs to the papers, gets replaced by a guy who's probably about 10 years older than him, which actually might make a bit of a point.
Yeah, I suppose. I think you're just actually contradicting everything I've said over the off-season, aren't you? Thanks for that, Aaron. but I have to agree.
16 games, 24 points.
Yeah.
10 years older. But anyway.
I'm not a moaner.
Yeah, exactly. Although, to be fair, that guy, if he wanted to moan, well, he kind of was allowed to because he was the coach.
True.
Mark Judian, that's the one that kind of sticks out a bit, because I think he's always been, wherever he's been accused of being a bit selfish at times. And to be fair, he can be a bit selfish at times. But
Mark Smith's his mate now, he's got a mate in.
Well, this is true.
Ryan Smith. Mark Smith would have been a better sign.
Jutes, I can look back at a few. The goal he scored in the playoff semi-final.
Yeah, was very cheeky.
One of my moments of the season. It's probably one of the best moments of the season.
Very cheeky.
I can think back, without sort of pinpointing them, I can think back to a few times, especially earlier on in the season, where he did make a difference. And where he did maybe turn games, which can't necessarily be said of some of the other individuals.
Well, like I say, it is kind of hypocritical of me to be moaning about it, because for seasons now I've been saying how I'd love to see the team gutted and quite a bit of a fresh start, with new names and new signings, and now I've got them, I'm not happy, you know what I mean? Which is quite hypocritical, but I'll give it a month or two.
Sometimes it's better to have it's better for ourselves to be sort of underdogs, I think, because last season we were probably considered, possibly as favourites. Coventry obviously would have been up there, but, on paper, we probably had, the best collection of players in the league.
Yeah.
Certainly on the forward lines. Obviously that didn't finish second, but it didn't look like we were ever going to win the league. As the season drew on, this year people are looking at other teams, especially at what other teams have signed, and looking at us and saying, I think I saw one prediction where the Giants were down in 8th, and saying that's not necessarily, that could happen.
Yeah.
Based on what other teams have done this off season, I think. But it's quite nice, not first of all to be underdogs, but second of all maybe to have, from our, we've had high expectations over the years for the team, and maybe they've been too high.
Yeah.
Because basically, we've had 7 seasons now. First season, obviously, when we played at home for half the season, we finished 5th out of 8 in the league, whatever it was. Second season, we walked the league. We had it won by Christmas. Third season, we lost the league by a point, finished 2nd, won the playoffs.
Yeah.
Fourth season, we finished 2nd in the league. No, we didn't. Fourth season was a bad season.
6th.
See the way I wiped that out of my memory?
Yeah, 6th, I think we ended up. 6th and didn't make playoffs.
Yeah, 4th season was a bad season, but we were just delighted to have a team that year.
Yeah, there was a lot of
trouble in the off season.
There was a lot, yeah.
Then the Elite League, that was the first season of the Elite League, wasn't it?
Yes.
The season after that, second season of the Elite League, we finished 2nd again. Next season we won the league, and last season we finished 2nd. So looking back at the history, yes, we've done well, but maybe it's given us unfairly high expectations. Maybe it'll be nice to maybe not be expecting much and hopefully to sort of exceed the expectations for a change.
Do you think that's true, though? Do you not think that despite it, there'll be a lot of high expectations of a Giants team? Because personally, I don't know, I'll probably get ripped to shreds for this. My expectations aren't that high. I'd like to see us do well. In fact, I'd be delighted if we do well, you know. But if we end up coming fourth, then, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised. You know, that's the way sports go, you know. Sometimes you're up, sometimes you're down. But I'm not necessarily talking about me. I'm talking about, do you think that it would affect the Giants' fan base and maybe even crowd numbers, that if the Giants don't do well, the Odyssey numbers would drop?
It is a tricky one, isn't it? To be honest, I think we're kind of, over the last lot of years, the last 3 years, I would say, I haven't seen a huge fluctuation in Giants sort of numbers, supporter-wise. And I've been a season ticket holder that whole time, so I would say I've missed maybe two or three games over the last 3 years. So from what I personally am seeing, your games against your Sheffields, your Nottinghams, and probably your Coventrys are still always good crowds.
Yeah.
Slightly worse when it's during the week, and that's something we'll maybe come to when we talk to Mark later on in the show.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, a Saturday night fixture against the Steelers, you're still getting a healthy crowd. Yes, we have been competing over that time. But I would say it would be more the draw of the fact that it's the Steelers, you know, the Blaze or the Panthers. I mean, I know personally that a lot of the times when the fixture list comes out, those are the first games that I would sort of look out, see when they are.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then looking sort of at others, I mean, the likes of your Basingstokes, your Edinburghs, and so on. Yeah, the crowds in general for those games are a bit lower. Just generally, I don't think the crowds are going to change a huge amount, whether we're competing or not for the title.
Yeah.
I think crowds have reached a level where there's pretty much a diehard element who will support. As long as the team are putting effort in, I can see those guys turning out. You know, I mean, there's nothing I dislike more than handing over 15 quid, whenever it was, say 20 quid by the time you talk about a program and things like that, and go and watching a load of guys who don't give a toss.
Yeah.
Even when they're winning, you know, I would rather hand over my 20 quid, go in and see the team. Obviously, I wouldn't rather see them lose, but if they lose, I'd like to see that, you know, they care and they're putting their effort into it.
Yeah.
I think a majority of people would be of that opinion as well. Maybe I'm just living in some kind of utopia, and maybe if we lose 7 games in a row at home, I'll walk into the 8th game and there'll be 40 people sitting there, but I don't think that'll be the case.
No, I agree with you. I'd like to think that, you know, I'd love to say that I don't think that fans are fickle, but I know that even I'm fickle, you know what I mean?
I think, there is going to be a certain amount who, yes, you know, I mean, the way I would say it would be, I think our average would be lower, but there wouldn't be as many, you know, walk-ins. I mean, look at some of the crowds we've had in sort of end-of-season games the last few years. I remember, was it 3 seasons back now, I suppose, the doubleheader games we had against Coventry at the end of the season.
Yep.
Which, you know, had things gone our way,
would have been massive games.
Would have been title deciders, probably. Yep. As it worked out, they weren't. But because they'd been billed as title deciders, we sold out, and I know of people who didn't get in.
Yep.
And the same happened at the Cardiff game 2 seasons back. And at the end of, you know, the end of the season, last season, for the last couple of games, again, there were big crowds.
Yep.
So I think if we're successful, we'll get bigger crowds. Whereas if we're not so successful, I think the crowds would probably remain about even, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a bit convoluted, but I think I got my point across. In the
no, end. No, I know what you mean. I'd love to go on. I think we're best stopping there because we're running on a bit, and we do have a nice chat with our mate Hitchy to come. But earlier on, before we did this part of the recording, we had Mark Hitchy Hitchcock on to chat about things. Might repeat a few things that we've chatted about already. And just generally see people's views on the league and the structure of the league and the changes in the league and how the Steelers are going to do, etc., etc., etc. One thing I will point out is he texted me straight after we did the recording and said, I said we took Maltby from the Basingstoke Bison when I actually meant Shepherd. Could you please cut it out? I'm not going to cut it out. That mistake's staying in. Unlucky, Hitchy. We chatted to Mark, and this is how it went. I might have cut out a fair bit of expletives. And in a first, joining us by phone is it's not a first. He's been on the podcast before. Is Mark Hitchcock? How are you doing, Mark?
I'm very well, thank you. How about yourself?
I'm not too bad, mate. I'm not too
good
bad.
Good to hear it.
Yeah, how's your off-season been? You're enjoying a glass of wine at the minute, then?
I am, yes. At the moment, drinking a nice glass of Sicilian red bought in a box from Morrison's. Sorry for the plug.
Mark Morrison's?
Is not that Mark Morrison, as in the Fife legend.
The Return of the Mac? Has it got E. coli like everything else from Morrison's?
Yeah, I'm hoping to die within the next 24 hours.
Good work. Aaron, how are you?
I'm all right, thanks, Patrick. Just enjoying our rather wet summer.
Yeah.
Is there a Jason Ruff around at yours?
Hey. Yeah,
no, there's no Jason Ruff at all.
It's all right. It's all right for me. Vicky's away in Crete. She left for Crete this morning. So it's all right for some. Anyway, since we last spoke, there's been a lot of things going on in the off-season. And one of the first things that happened were that the Panthers won the playoffs. What do you think of that, Mark?
It was the hockey equivalent of someone tugging on your balls, really. If I'm going to be honest with you, a bit like going to bed with a woman, finding out she's a man. Very, very, very disappointing.
Okay. Yeah, did you think they deserved it then?
I don't want to sound like sour grapes, and I'm not used. In all my time of being a Steelers fan, I'm not used to talking about Panthers winning a trophy. It's only happened a couple of times before, and they're blurs in my memory. But I think a team that can't win a game in regulation, winning the playoffs makes a bit of a mockery of the sport. But there you go. Well done to them. I hope they enjoyed it. It's not going to last.
Yeah, well, Aaron makes a good point. The fact that in the whole weekend they didn't win a game in regulation time. They didn't win one since
the whole playoffs.
Yeah, no, they beat. I think they beat Sheffield in one game, didn't they?
They won that tie overall on penalties. It was a two-legged job, eh? So, I know that the league have taken a step to try and rectify that by adding, was it 2 10-minute overtime periods?
Finals weekend
next year, but...
It was a strange sensation seeing people in Nottingham shirts walking around smiling at the end of a weekend. But, things happen. And Newcastle United might win a trophy next. Who knows? It's a mad world.
It is a mad world. I don't think I'll go that far. But it was strange as well, because the final, the way it ended up, wasn't actually the best game of the weekend. It was the, in my opinion, it was the Coventry against Cardiff game.
In all honesty, I can't remember much of the final due to intoxication. But
were you drinking?
Yeah, just a bit, yeah. Covering it for some magazine as well, allegedly.
We're drunk now.
I had a feeling. I mean, Nottingham have been in so many finals over the years that I've been to, Wembley, Manchester, wherever, and a lot against Sheffield as well. And I very unfortunately for me, I wasn't able to attend the one time they beat us in a final, which was that Challenge Cup one. I was up at uni and I couldn't go. So I've never really been present when they've actually done it. And I don't know, I had a feeling in my bones, and unfortunately for me and a lot of other Sheffield fans it came true. But, we'll take our record over the last 10 years or so.
Mm. Yeah, well, I have to say, personally, I was kind of disappointed, especially as the Giants didn't even turn up, really. But that's the way it goes. Move on. Next season's on its way, and there seems to be a bit of a change. One of the big things, before we get on to any major signings, is that some of the big teams, the arena teams, Newcastle, Sheffield...
Not a big team, right?
No, Sheffield and Belfast have scheduled games in rinks.
Yeah.
Good thing, bad thing?
I think it's they're very, very two different scenarios. I mean, there's a lot of Sheffield fans not happy with the Ice Sheffield situation. I personally am. I love going to Ice Sheffield. I think the big difference is obviously Ice Sheffield and the Hallam FM Arena literally metres apart, whereas you guys are travelling to another neck of the woods, another country. So, I mean, it's completely different. I think it's great for us. I've never been to this rink you're going to. Is it Dundalk?
Yeah.
How do you pronounce it? I don't know. Dundalk. fair play. If it's a choice between a midweek empty arena or a packed to the rafters rink on a Saturday night, I mean, I'd go for the packed to the rafters rink on a Saturday night as long as I can get a ticket, you know?
Yeah.
And also, places like that serve better beer, so it's also a big plus, isn't it?
Well, that's true. Yeah, Aaron, Giants, 4 games scheduled for the Dundalk Bullring, I believe it's called, and a lot of people not happy at that.
Yeah, well, I'm quite looking forward to it myself. I managed to get down after the playoffs last season, World Championships Division 3. Ireland were competing against New Zealand.
Any louder, hit you?
South Pardon? Africa.
Sorry, could you pour that any louder for us?
Yeah, it was wine. I wasn't urinating. It was wine. The more Sicilian.
Okay. Sorry, go on, Aaron.
Yeah, I managed to get down for the World Championships Division 3 with Ireland competing. Got down for what turned out to be the game which Ireland gained the silver medal in promotion, the higher group next year, and the place was sold out. And the atmosphere, there was a fair few Giants fans there, but there were quite a lot of sort of Dundalk locals, possibly others from other parts of Ireland who maybe hadn't been before, and they certainly got behind Team Ireland, and the atmosphere was fantastic. The small rink, you know, just really contained the sound. It was just very, very loud and very good, and I think I'm quite looking forward to the Giants getting down there.
Yeah, and so it's pushed that new general manager, Todd, as a, and I know Hitchie loves this nickname, the Killer Kelman, has taken over, and one of the decisions he's made is to bring us down there for 4 games. The is that a sign of things to come, do you think?
It's hard to tell. We only know what's going to happen this year, you know. But the Odyssey is getting busier. There's more and more events coming to the Odyssey, so yeah, I think it could be something we may see just a little bit more often, or certainly quite regularly over the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Hitchie?
Yeah?
You're a big fan of The Killer, aren't you?
Killer Kelman. Well, all I'm going to say that if Todd Kelman is a killer, then I'm a love lord. That's all I'm saying on that.
Fair enough. All right. A lot of big signings over the last couple of months, right across the league. Who are you looking forward to seeing in the Steelers group?
Jeremy Cornish.
I think the big one for a lot of Steelers fans, because obviously they know everything about him, really, from playing for Coventry and Nottingham, is Ashley Tate. I mean, really, really looking forward to seeing him. I think it's a great sign that, you know, we can attract a big British name like that. I mean, back in the 90s, we were notorious for taking all the best British players off other teams rather than bringing players through. And over the last 10 years, we've seen Sheffield actually producing players. So now, you know, it's nice to go and get someone like Ashley Tate to come and join the Steelers. It's huge for us, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to be a big sign. It looks like Matos has put together quite a strong team for this season as well.
Yeah, and by all accounts, they're all fast players. I mean, there's players, most players that are coming in, I mean, just to me, they're just names. The Jeff Lee guy, apparently, who skates like the wind, I think, is one of the quotes Matos came out with. Finity. he was already a quick guy, and Tate, we know he's quick. But, I mean, it's they're looking like they're going to go for the speed. You know, we weren't really notorious of muscle until Cornish came in, and hopefully he can do that job for us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm quite optimistic. I mean, there's been a lot of good squads being built this summer. I think that's been quite clear. So it's just interesting to see what happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently, the other big signing for me in the league is another Brit, is Weaver going to Coventry. And I know there was rumours that he was going to also come to Sheffield. And if that had happened, then, you know, that would have just sealed it for me. But that's another big signing, I think, in the league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of big room. I know that the guys up here, now that I'm living in Newcastle, I guess get to talk a lot of Vipers fans. I know they were sorry to lose Weaver, but a lot of them also saying that they're looking forward to the fresh start. The fact that they're looking that now they've got Lobby and his captain, and they're looking mm-hmm. forward to seeing, you know, because, well, Weaver was doing a lot of travelling, wasn't he?
Haven't they signed a pretty decent player from Belfast as well, Newcastle?
Yes, they have. They've signed last season's top scorer, Jeff Hutchins.
Fantastic, you know, that signing just speaks for itself. Well done, Newcastle.
It really does. I think one of the other big movements of the season, Aaron, has to be Curtis Uppe moving to Coventry.
Yep, very disappointed in that. No, not really.
Why is that?
Will the puppies follow?
Will the puppies follow? That's the big question. Let's hope so. That's right. Have you ever encountered the puppies, Hitchy?
I have. Let's just hope that the Coventry attendances don't start to sag.
Yep, so Aaron, what are the big signs? What about Belfast? What do you think we've got?
Can I get back to you on that one in about 2 months' time?
Why is that? Yeah, I think that there's anything exciting about it. Surely the return of Courtney and then the likes of Cameron Johnson. No. Some new signings, yeah, some new faces.
As Hitchy said, a lot of them are just names at the minute. Many of them haven't seen playing. They look like Carlisle Lewis, Sean Skihar's replacement. He looks like, you know, he'd probably be more active on the defending his team front, and he also looks like hopefully he'll be able to put up more points. Not that, you know, I've sort of any major issues with anything Sean Skihar did over the 2 years he was here, but just think the guy could be a bit more entertaining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Other than that, Deruville probably would be quite a question mark. Replacing Mike Menard, I mean, he came in at the end of last year and he put us on a fantastic run over the space of 15, 16 games, whatever it was. And he did steal quite a few games for us in that spell, but it'll be interesting to see if he can sort of keep that form up over 60 games rather than 16.
Is that not a question mark you threw as well at the Panthers with Rusty Wolverine?
If I threw that question at Rusty, it'd probably come straight back at me.
Whoa!
1-0.
Well, it seems to be that there's been a lot of players coming back over from, you know, there's no other way to put it, but aging players coming back from league. So, yeah. Look at the likes of PC Druin, for an example.
I'm looking forward to Druin. I think last time he was over, I'm pretty sure that was the season Steelers won the Grand Slam, well, the controversial Grand Slam. And obviously, the team that Steelers put together, regardless of anyone's opinion about, you know, how it was financed, was by far and away above all the teams. But I think at the time Panthers had Druin, and thinking about it, it was a few years ago, but that was the ISL. I mean, that was a much higher standard, and he was, you know, a class act then. So with the standard dropping, fair enough his age, I think he's going to do a good job. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. Not against Sheffield.
You see, he's not the only one as well. You've got the return of Steve Thornton and Stevie Lyle down in Basingstoke. What's going on down in Basingstoke?
Well, Stevie Lyle must still be only about 17, didn't he make his debut at the age of 9? Basingstoke, Steve Thornton is a player that, you know, for some reasons, always seemed to avoid playing for Sheffield. They've always wanted him. He had a good debut against us once, but it's just hope that doesn't happen again against us. He's a class player as well.
He was a fantastic player. I remember when he played for the Giants, the year we won the playoffs, he came in about January time and just exploded and just basically drove us all the way to the to win in the playoffs. And we'd love to have seen him come back to us, but then Basingstoke seemed to be picking up these names.
I think one of the draws probably for Stevie Thornton at Basingstoke, I think, is he'd been installed as assistant coach.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Which I think, you know, obviously he's looking maybe to get into the role of player coach maybe in the next couple of years before moving full-time into coaching, so I can understand that one. But yeah, Basingstoke look like a different proposition now than they have for a few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, well, Basingstoke had lost a big name to us in Marlby, so obviously they wanted a big name to replace. And if fair enough, if teams want to attract players with a title such as assistant coach, then it looks good on a player's CV, doesn't it, when they head back over the pond or something, you know.
And another way that teams seem to be attracting players is through university courses. I know that there's been a signing today for the Newcastle Vipers whose name escapes me.
Slobodan Šišmanov.
That's the guy's name. Who's part of? He's been one of the. I think it's four players with the Vipers now, who part of their contract includes a course with Northumbria University. But which seems to be a way. Also, Coventry picking up that sort of thing. I don't know if Sheffield are as well.
It's happened. I could be completely wrong, but I've not seen too much this summer about players being on deals like that. Maybe they have, I don't know. It's fair enough. It's another way to attract players. We've got to do what we can to attract players over here. I mean, it's not a big league anymore, really, when you think about it. The only pool that we have is that we speak English. That's the only thing. You know, some players, like if we saw
Some of us speak English.
Yeah. I forgot about
the Edinburgh. You know what those Edinburgh Capital ones are like?
I thought you were about the Gaelic stuff. No, look at Tessier, came to Nottingham, ripped the league to shreds with them, went over, tried to earn his money elsewhere in Europe, came to Sheffield because, you know, his missus didn't like the language barrier, and now he's buggered off again somewhere, so.
Yeah.
We've got to attract them somehow, whether it's the language, whether it's, you know, Americans.
We don't have the crowds and the money anymore, so it's like you say, there's got to be some sort of enticement to bring these players here, and if that's
that's why I've always, you know, even when they played out of absolute holes, London attracted players because, you know, these North Americans obviously thought, hey, London, let's go and live there and play hockey there, it'd be great, mm-hmm. even though they were playing in a bloody rink with hanging baskets at one point.
That's true. Lee Valley had hanging baskets, didn't it? One of the other big things.
That was the real reason it closed.
Yeah. One of the other big bits of news coming from the Giants camp was, it had been raining for a long time in the summer, and then suddenly the sad news came that Jason Ruff was to retire and having signed, and then the sun came out, which was kind of strange. It wasn't so wet anymore. That news sort of hit home, Aaron. Were you disappointed about?
Yes and no. I'm glad that he got to go out on his own terms. Mm-hmm. I think the guy deserved us to give him another year, basically because of what he's done so far. You know, there were signs last year that he wasn't quite at the same, not that he was in any way a poor player, but he just wasn't quite at the same level as he had been previously. There's nothing to suggest that, you know, he would have sort of gotten any worse or whatever, but I'm quite glad that he isn't going to come over and play rubbish and leave us with pretty bad memories. In the sort of Paxton Schultz final season kind of way.
Yeah. Yeah, that has been said. Jason Ruff, when he came on, he just knew he became one of the big Giants players, probably the franchise player, and the arguably one of the greatest players to play for us, or maybe even this side of the Atlantic in the UK. But over the last couple of years, like you say, he has been slowing down, and it has been tough to watch. And I have to say, I was disappointed the same go, but not as disappointed as maybe I would have been a couple of seasons ago. Yeah.
It's true with legends at any team, though, isn't it? You know, well, I mean, we've seen them in Sheffield, we've seen the big guns, the big names, you know, maybe stay a little bit too long. I'm not naming names because I'll probably upset all the Steelers fans with game worn shirts and signed scarves. But you know, players are absolute legends, and maybe it's just too difficult to sack them or release them because of the connection they've got with the club. And I think Ruffle's such a good player for the Giants. He was huge, and I think you know, while we're all sad to see him go, I think every fan of every other club's quite happy to see him go in that respect, you know, instead of seeing him face their team again.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up, except one question before we go. Who's going to win the league, and who's going to win the playoffs this early? It's difficult to say, and it is a bit of a... because you haven't seen any teams, but based on signings so far, who do you think is the strongest team, Mark?
Me and Anna both said it's very, very difficult to say when you don't personally know a lot of the players signed, but everyone seems to be going for Coventry again at this early stage. I can't really pick one team, but I think the three will be Coventry, Sheffield and Nottingham for mm-hmm. both trophies.
Okay.
I think those are going to be the big three this year, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy to see the Steelers once again, a big one at the top, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a few years now.
You might draw the crowds back.
Yeah, we are fickle. I might even go back.
Yeah, I was about to say, Mr. I've given up on hockey, might actually go back.
Yeah, well, television's getting a bit boring now, so I might start going again, you know.
Well, that's true. Aaron, who do you think would be the big teams?
I am going to say, as much as it's going to pain me, I think Nottingham. Well, the big rumour, I think Nottingham still have maybe one slot left, and if Corey Carlander signs, which seems to be the big rumour that's been doing the rounds for the whole of the summer, if he signs, I'd say Nottingham.
If he signs, I'd wonder where the money come from.
Well,
they haven't brought the wage cap, because I think we're doing that again this year.
Alright, is it your turn?
Yeah. In the name of Pidge, I swear my innocence.
Other than that, I mean, again, you can't discount Coventry, ever.
It's like the Germans at the World Cup, isn't it?
Sheffield will be up there.
It's like the English at Rugby Union World Cup.
You can always discount them, especially this year.
And I think Basingstoke will win one of the various made-up trophies that we'll no doubt invent through the year.
Nice.
Nah, I can't see the Beavers walking away with anything.
Nothing? No, I think so. Not even with being backstopped by the, as you say, the 16-year-old Stevie Lyle.
No, I think, you know, I just can't see it. I think there's a good chance again this year because there's quite a few good squads being built. There's a good chance we're going to see the trophy spread around, but I can't see them going into the lower reaches of the league.
Mm. Well,
it's not like... you know, it's not like the Carling Cup in football where you occasionally see someone awful like Middlesbrough lift it. It's I just can't see it.
Or Spurs. There's
too many strong teams in these knockout cups.
Yeah.
Whatever they call them this year.
Well, it's always got a different name, isn't it?
Yeah. They've got more chance than Belfast. Are you even entering this year?
I don't know, actually. I don't think we are. I think it's still the... I don't think we are. I think it's just... Is it the British knockout cup again? Aaron, do you know?
Well, now that we play in Ireland,
yeah, indeed.
Maybe we're not allowed to enter.
Yeah. We might deal with that delicate subject as the season goes on. But, I have to say, I agree with you. I think that Nottingham's going to be a tough team. I think the Steelers are going to be a tough team. Coventry, you can't discount. But I think as well, Newcastle might, or Moblix. They signed this guy today who's come from Lens. I still can't remember his name. Well, I couldn't be arsed.
Lance Armstrong?
No, it isn't Lance Armstrong. He's come from Lens in Austria.
Sorry. Well, fair play to Newcastle. They're always good for a laugh.
Yes, you coming up here a few times this season then, Hitchy?
Yeah, I hope so. It's just a shame the first games when we're all in London watching plastic hockey, but, you know, hopefully the other occasions will be... I'll be there with bells on eating my hog roast and
dancing.
Speaking to the women.
Spot on. Well, I think that's about it, boys. Thanks for coming on, Mark.
No problem.
Next time we speak to you will probably be the end of September. at the...
Well, unless you come for the summit as Steelers friendly.
Oh, yeah, I might come down for that. Also, before we go, actually, I want to say congratulations to Jimmy Somerville on Martin McAllister, who's been on a couple of times, on the birth of his first child.
Yeah.
He had a baby.
We're almost certain that it is his. So, I mean, that's a plus as well.
That is a plus. Congratulations. Ah, dear. Right. Cheers, Mark.
Okay, cheers, buddy.
Yep. Once again, cheers to Hitchy for coming on.
Yeah, always entertaining to have a conversation with him.
It's, even his text messages are wrong. But, yep, maybe we'll have him on again. Maybe we'll do a one-off live special from Marty's flat at the NHL weekend. I thought about that earlier. Marty's probably listening to this thing to himself. I've just had a child. No chance. Yeah. So, a lot of interesting things talked about and his views on how the Steelers are going to pan together. And I have to agree on a number of things on how we're going to compete. But... I think after all of that, this has been quite a long podcast, and we've covered quite a bit. I think it's time we wrapped it up, mate.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. Obviously, with a lot to go over, with pretty much a whole summer of bits and pieces to look at. But yeah. I think normal service shall resume, I would say, pretty soon.
Yeah, a couple of weeks. We'll try to get it more regular than we did. It's like we have missed out a lot of things, and we have probably covered a lot of things twice, but it's been quite an eventful summer that we were never going to cover everything in one podcast, were we? I don't think we actually went in depth as much on the whole Dundalk issue. Good thing or bad thing, I don't know, but we'll cover that once the season begins, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it might be something to look at after we've had a couple of friendly games down there.
Yeah, definitely.
See whether people's opinions change.
Yeah, absolutely.
At that stage.
But if you have any opinions on that or anything that's been said, drop us an email at Kingdom of the Giants, or podcast at kingdomofthegiants.com. 2 years now. 2 years we've been doing this, and I still can't get that right.
So, I know, it's just shocking.
Go on.
And, of course, the website, www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
And then after our time is in Dock, I think we'll be back in Belfast, will we, Aaron?
Yep, absolutely.
And on that note, we'll see you next time on A View from the Bridge.